Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, Where My Mo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How's it going?
I'm doing okay. My throat's a little bugging me a bit, but, I want to do this show, and, you know, how it is on this show. You know, we talk sports and entertainment. So, you know, we're going to talk about what's going on in the football, the World Series, as the Cubs are trying to avoid being eliminated at home, similar to my Mets last year. Also talk about the NBA season that just started this past week. Also, you know, we're going to also talk about the WWE pay-per-view event coming up, the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view event with three main event Hell in the Cell matches, but we'll get into that, you know, in the show. But most importantly, the number is 917-384-189. That's 917-384-189. So feel free to talk about these topics and more. And we just want to thank you all for going on the show. I mean, you know, coming on the show and listening to it. Next week will be the, you know, the season premiere, because in 2009 we debuted, I think it was on November 1st or 2nd, if I remember right. So next, to commemorate that, even though we're just a few days away, next week will be the season premiere. So keep your eye out for that and keep your ears, you know, tuned in for the next week's episode. So again, thank you for all the support over the years. So with that, let's talk about the Jets. And the Jets, you know, obviously the Jets, you know, are having a horrible year, but these past couple of games they've bounced back, and you know, they won these past two games, and they need a miracle for them to keep this streak going, so they could even have at least a fighting chance to even try to make it to the wild card, you know, similar to what my Mets did. You know, they surprised the world. They had a bunch of injuries, similar to the Jets. You know, Eric Decker going out, you know, bad play by Fitzpatrick, which caused this harm, and other people, obviously. Darrell Revis is clearly, Father Time has caught up with him. And basically, you know, the Jets are going to need a miracle to try to make it to the playoffs. And fortunately for them, you know, they were playing against a horrible Cleveland Browns team. But early on, that they were down, what, 20-7 at halftime, you know. The head coach, you know, gave them, a motivational speech at the halftime, you know, an expletive filled one, basically saying that they're getting their butts kicked. And Todd Bowles was able to ignite, you know, the spark within the Jets players, and they turned it around and went on, what, a 24-point run, and came out with the victory. I think the final score was 31-28. So kudos to the Jets. You know, they kept the Browns winless. I think now they're 0-7. And now the Jets are going to have to keep this train moving. And Matt Forte, I think he had two touchdowns, you know, in the victory. What was your thoughts on this whole game?
I saw some of the game, not all of it, but from what I saw, you know, Jets They got the running game established for Forte and Bilal Powell, who had a touchdown today. They managed to come back from that 27 deficit, halftime deficit, and you know the defense clamped down on the Browns, who were pretty much moving the ball at will in the first half against the Jets. They couldn't stop Terrell Pryor, who had a big day today. But in the second half, you know, Jets turned it around. You know, their defense clamped down and pretty much stopped the Browns on several drives. So I thought their defense did pretty good today. You know, offense was a little stagnant in the first half, but second half they got it together to come back. And you know, Jets have won two in a row, so you know, there's still a chance. You know, that they can make the playoffs if they go on the run here. You know, anything's possible.
Exactly. It's a slim chance, but who knows? Anything can happen in the world of sports. That's why you love sports.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, you know, shocking stuff, upsets. You know, we live for moments for that, except if it's at our team's expense, of course. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, just going to have a big divisional game with the Miami Dolphins in Miami. So, you know, that's a pivotal game for them. They could win this game, but they'll be 4-5. And like we always say, man, you know, you can't be talking about a playoff team and you're under 500. No one's gonna take you seriously.
Yeah, for real.
You know, so they gotta win at least these two games, at least, you know, at least be 500. But they need to win all out. You know, they need to win the whole way, and that's if that and they still need to be lucky for them to you know, get this wild card.
Right now they're what, 3-5, right?
Yeah,
or something.
3-5. Mm-hmm.
So you know they need to. I mean, if they finish at least 500, if they go 5-3 the rest of the way, get an 8-8 record, that might be good to get, you know, a wild card spot, maybe. You know, I mean, there are some other good teams in the AFC, but it's still possible.
They need a lot of help, for real.
Well, they need to jump ahead the teams in front of them right now in their own division, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And this Sunday is going to be a big test for them. Miami, if they don't, Miami is going to give them the final TKO.
Yeah, for real.
So we'll see what happens next week, man, for real. And I hope they can pull it out. I hope Fitzpatrick has some Fitz magic, a little bit of it left from last year. So we'll see what happens. And
yeah.
Of course, you know, the Giants have the bye week, and those are your beloved football Giants, of course.
My boys.
Mm-hmm. The G-Men.
Yeah. They had a big win last week against, was it the, what was it again? I forget. Oh, yeah, it was a London
was
game against the, no, it was,
no,
they were,
no,
London.
Ravens. Ravens was the other game before that. Was it, no, it wasn't Packers. What team was it? Let me, the Rams. The Rams. They won 17-10.
Yeah. So pretty much kind of a sloppy game, you know, low-scoring game, but Giants managed to win it, and their record's 4-3 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So next week, I forget who they play next week
the
after
Eagles.
Their bye.
Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
in MetLife Stadium, so that's another big game as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, Eagles are one of our rivals over the years.
Mm-hmm.
We always get up to play. And they always get up to play against us, so that should be a big game.
Oh, yeah. Both teams have this date circled before the season started, so.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It's a pivotal game for them, for both teams, so. We'll see what happens. And shifting gears, we were just talking about your beloved Giants, and of course, a team—the only team we can both agree on, regard to, you know, our love and torment. And of course, I didn't tell you off the air what I'm talking about, but with that lead up, I bet you know what team we're talking about.
The Knickerbockers. The York,
you got it. Correct.
We are the New York Knicks.
Yep. They celebrated their 70th year in the National Basketball Association, the oldest team in the league. And they debuted in 1946. And they opened up the season in Cleveland, and they got their butt whooped Tuesday night. Shocker. Everybody knew it. Everybody and their mom knew what was going to happen. Cleveland celebrated on the court with their rings, talk smack, and then they just humbled the Knicks. But what did the Knicks do? You know, they didn't put their tail between their legs and crawl home crying. What did they do? They took the days off that they had. They trained, and then they came Saturday night on their home opener in their 70th season, where they honored many of their legends from the past 70 years. And especially the championship teams of the 70s.
Well, you know, one thing with that, they honored several players, but you didn't see Ewing there. You didn't see Sprewell, Mark Jackson. You know, there's Oakley. There's several guys that are missing.
Right, that's true. You're right. You're right. There were some glaring omissions. You're absolutely right. But in front of the ones that were there, you know, they rebounded from, no pun intended, you know, they rebounded from the loss to the Cavaliers, and they beat up on the Grizzlies, and they got the victory, so now they're 1-1, and now the Knicks gotta basically redeem. they're on a redemption trail from ever since 2013, the only year that they were actually good, you know, post the Ewing era.
You know, I thought last night's game, they had energy from the start of the game compared to the last game against Cleveland. You know, Joakim Noah, he was hyped up, getting the crowd involved. You know, I like his energy. He reminds me of Oakley. And the start
exactly.
of it, you know?
Yep.
And he's going to be a fan favorite, you could tell, because the fans were chanting his name like The Rock, you know? And I mean, he brings that fire, man. I love him.
Oh, yeah, he's a New York guy, you know? And, you know, we've seen him from afar. You know what a pest he could be on the defense, you know, blocking shots and just being a, you know, just being a guy who's a throwback to the 90s Knicks, you know.
Yep.
And, we knew he'd be a fan favorite. You know, he didn't have to change anything up of his game. He just had to be himself. And, you know, we knew it. He knew it. You know, and, you know, it's natural. You know, he's a fan favorite already. You know, before he even played these first two games. And, you know, it's going to continue.
Derrick Rose.
He just has to stay healthy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he had that nice crossover move, man.
Oh, yeah,
throwback,
man.
MVP.
For real.
Derrick Rose, man.
And driving to the basket at will. I mean, he has no problem driving to the basket at all.
Yeah. Derrick Rose is back. He's healthy, you know.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, basically the whole offense was a shared attack. Nobody really dominated in the game, but everybody, all the top guys, basically, you know, they were in double digits,
yep.
You know, in the teens, like I'd say about the mid to high teens, about 15, at least 15 point each or so. And, you know, they basically, you know, it was a balanced attack, and that, you know, you didn't know where the hammer was coming from, basically.
Yeah.
Offensively, and you know that's the recipe for this team. They gotta play, you know, defense, and you know, share the ball. You know, and that's basically the recipe of winning, really. So, hopefully, the Knicks can keep it up.
Yeah, their success will be based on their defense. I mean, there's no they could score. There's no problem with them scoring, but they have to play better defense. They can't give up wide open threes, which the Knicks always do for years. You know?
Decade. Well, yeah, over a decade they've been doing this for real.
Over 3 decades, man. Always the wide open three.
At least the 90s, they at least tried to put up a fight. I mean, they couldn't stop, what's his
Reggie
name?
Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller, that game, but.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. Yeah, man. We still got that drought, man. We haven't won since 73. So,
yeah.
Hopefully a miracle can happen, but they'd have to get past the Warriors and obviously Cleveland first, and maybe even the Bulls. I mean, who knows? They
yeah.
just gotta, you know, the odds are not in their favor, but you know, they just gotta show up.
Yeah, they do.
And we'll see what happens with that next. Let's go to the World Series. And man, the Cubs are, you know, they're in a tough pickle right now, man. They're in the same spot that the Mets were last year, basically down 3-1 at home, you know. With their chances of winning a World Series, basically, literally, almost up in smoke right now, I'm trying to remember the guy's name who pitched yesterday. Lackey, he gave up 3 runs. He didn't have that Red Sox, you know, vintage Red Sox performance that you know we all expect from him. And, you know, the Cubs lost by the final score of 7-2. And you knew coming into this World Series, before this World Series, you know, the Cubs were hoping to sweep, you know, on their home field. But the exact opposite, well, not the exact opposite. They thought they had a chance to clinch the World Series via the sweep, or at least in 5 games, worst-case scenario, these feisty, pitching-orientated Cleveland Indians. But the exact opposite happened. Instead of watching them, you know, the Cubs finally clinch the World Series at Wrigley Field for the first time in 1908, now it looks like their torment continues, and in the worst
yeah.
possible way. Getting clinched at home, while the Cleveland Indians, who haven't won in 1948, looks like the promised land might come tonight. So
yeah.
we'll see what happens.
Cubs, they've
and,
been very inconsistent offensively in the series. I mean, the Indians pitching has pretty much, you know, got these guys befuddled, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to change this thing around or else, you know, like you said, the Indians will wrap it up tonight and win the World Series and give Cleveland their second championship this year.
Oh, right. Correct. Yes. Because Cleveland Cavaliers won their, you know, first ever NBA championship. And
yeah.
now the city of Cleveland is now christened as Believeland. And
yep.
they're making a believer out of everybody in the world of sports. So you never know, man. People mocking people, you know. Look at the Royals a decade ago. They were a laughingstock.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
now they just won the championship last year. And then now you got the city of Cleveland, a butt of jokes, you know, forever. You know, other than you know, when LeBron was on the team, you know, before, well, basically, you know, they kind of, you know, everybody was on the on the wagon.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he took his talents to Miami a few years ago and Cleveland, you know, the Cavaliers was a joke basically, but it was a blessing in disguise. You know, they got Kyrie Irving and, you know, he was one of the missing pieces that they needed a few years later to bring the title back earlier this year. So
yep.
you never know. You know. If you have smart people, you know, in the front office, They can turn a losing season. They could turn losing seasons into a memorable season.
Oh yeah, definitely.
With the right players. So now Cubs, they faced a similar task like they did last year. Except in the NLCS, they got swept because of the Mets' dominant pitching, and it looks like Cubs might get eliminated at home because of tough pitching. And of course, the Cleveland Indians got some, clutch hits, especially the last game, or throughout this whole series, basically.
Yeah.
So, and you know, credit to, you know, Kyle Schwarber, you know, coming back, you know, after basically missing the whole season, you know, after that the outfield collision. And, you know, he's playing DH, you know, in Cleveland, and he's being a pinch hitter. But, you know, there's so much he could do. You know, there's only much he can do. He's only one man, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
So the not to mention Zobrist, you know, he's a clutch guy, but the whole team, they need to get their act together, or else this World Series will be ending and on Halloween Eve. So they definitely gotta turn it around.
Well, you know, what better way to end the curse than coming back from 3-1? You know, remember the Red Sox when they came back 3-0 from my Yankees back in 04 to end their curse.
Right.
So maybe it's the Cubs' turn to come back from a huge deficit to win the championship.
Maybe. And wasn't it the Indians that blew a 3-1 lead to the Red Sox in 07?
Yeah, it was.
They were up 3-1.
Yep.
So Cubs fans are hoping with T.O. Epstein, history can repeat itself.
Yeah.
And speaking of Halloween Havoc, obviously that was a popular WCW event in the 90s with WWE's main competition. But the current WWE has its equivalent, and that's the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view event. The pay-per-view is named after, you know, my favorite WWE stipulation match. Hell in the Cell, because, you know, it's just a memorable match, man. It's, you know, very imposing. But I think the name of the pay-per-view should be changed. I don't think it should be called Hell in the Cell. I think it should be called Halloween Havoc. Because when it's called Hell in the Cell pay-per-view event, it's like, spoiler, you know what's the main stipulation match is going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins in a 10-second delay for suspense. Hell in a Cell match. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe they're going to have a Hell in a Cell match inside a Hell in a Cell. What a concept. It's like, come on. The suspense is just taken out of it.
True.
That's not like, I mean, other than the main event, like the old school ones, like Survivor Series, King of the Ring, Royal Rumble, you know, those are understandable. You're going to have those type of matches. But but all these other ones, Elimination Chamber, TLC, it's like it just takes – those matches should be in any pay-per-view event.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You shouldn't anticipate what year – you shouldn't anticipate what type of year you're going to get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You should, you know what I'm saying? Wasn't it the Iron Man pay-per-view event? you are gonna fight for your lives inside a Iron Man match at the Iron Man pay-per-view event. It's like, come on, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you're right. You know, they probably should go back to change it to Halloween Havoc, even though it was the mainly a WCW event.
They took Class of Champions.
Well, that's true.
They could take Class of Champions, Great American Bash. Why can't they have the rights to it? Just
You
probably have it. It would have been better if they did that. And they have they could have all these Hell in the Cell matches at Halloween Havoc.
That's true. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There would have been suspense. But, you know, that's neither here or there. But what was I gonna say? The pay-per-view event, It has potential. The build up to it, I would say, is great, but the pay per view has event. If these three Hell in the Cell matches live up to hype, this could be a pretty good pay per view event.
Yeah, you have some good
right
matches
now,
there.
Potentially, yeah, but basically, the build up for most of these stuff are kind of weak a little bit. But let's see, what should I go off with? New Day versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Now, this is an intriguing matchup.
Cesaro, you said the Cesaro match, right?
Yeah, Cesaro and Sheamus versus Cesaro. But I think it's a done deal that New Day is going to retain the titles because they're so close to the to the record that the all time tag team record that Demolition had. So it would be so stupid to end their reign right when they're right at the cusp of the championship. They have at least 434-day reign and the Demolition 478 day record, all time record in WWE. So, Sheamus and Cesaro, obviously, you know, they WWE like awards, you know, to try to, I guess, you know, since they're hyping up their tag team, even though they're at odds with each other. But I think New Day's record is on the line, mm-hmm. and the title, obviously.
Yeah.
So we're agreeing with that.
Yeah, I think New Day will retain the title. I don't see them losing it tonight.
What other matches they got? Let's see. Sasha versus Charlotte. First ever woman Hell in a Cell match. It might even be the main event. Yeah, obviously, technically WWE is saying there's three main event matches, but we all know that the main event is the last match on the show. So they could dress a dog up like a cat, but at the end of the day, it's still a dog. So they're not fooling anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So the last match of the night is the real main event and not this, three main event thing that's trying to push down people's throats. So, it's basically Sasha versus Charlotte.
I see Sasha retaining that.
I think so too. And I think that the rivalry would have been better as if Charlotte was still the champion, and then Sasha would have won the title at Hell in a Cell. I think it would have made the event more epic. But it's good to see Sasha as a champion. She deserves the second reign. It'd be interesting to see them be an event. I don't know if WWE is going to do that, but it would be interesting to see. I mean, it would highlight and kudos to Mick Foley in that promo on Monday. He really carried that rivalry to the next level with his speech on Monday, talking about his, you know, the aftermath of him, you know, going against first Undertaker in that Hell in a Cell match, Hell in a Cell match, and a lot of people's favorite as well. And then his at one point career ending match with Triple H inside the Hell in a Cell also. He was talking about, you know, things he went through that he still goes through, and you know how it, you know, changed them forever in a negative sense. It was, you know, and throwback Mick Foley right there. You know, he passed that promo with flying colors, you know, as usual. So
yeah,
credit, you know, for Mick Foley, because without him inside that pay-per-view, that promo, the fans, like, they were getting bored with Sasha and Charlotte's speech. And even McFoley was kind of like they're not taking it seriously. Like they think it's just, you know, like a check mark. Okay, her, you know, they're the first ones that compete in that match. But he was trying to remind them this match is very dangerous and career threatening, you know. And if done wrongly, like Mick Foley's epic toss off the Hell in a Cell, it could be fatal, you know, if it's not done right.
Yeah,
but
Mick Foley has done a great job as GM.
Definitely, and he's definitely keeping Raw afloat with this 3 hour stuff that they just haven't, you know, that's been ruining the show. The 3 hours is really horrible.
Yeah.
And
because, you know,
and
you have these, you know, the split roster, you know, I thought it was a good idea initially, but it turns out it might not be the greatest idea because you have some of these superstars fighting jobbers and repeated matches, you know, and they have to put in filler in between stuff. They have to find stuff to, like, put in between matches, which gets boring sometimes.
Right,
so.
Especially Raw, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah, Raw, for sure. I was all against the thing, but you know, I'm giving it a chance, you know, to see how it is. Obviously, I have no choice. It's good to see Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose actually AJ Styles as champion. You know, two guys you would never think in a millionaire year would be in WWE, much less the champions. So that's a awesome thing to see. I am intrigued by those aspects. Obviously, you know, Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, they're going to fight at the pay-per-view event next month, which will definitely go forward to that. And, of course, Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, you know, they were trying to pretend like the Minnesota crowd was against them. You know, Brock Lesnar's hometown was against them, but everyone was basically on their side. So that basically ruined Paul Heyman's promo about acting like people were chanting Goldberg sucks. Goldberg, you know, chanting Goldberg when nobody was chanting for Goldberg except Goldberg sucks. But that was the same.
Yeah.
But back to Hell in the Cell. Rusev versus Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is going to win this again. Retain the title.
Yeah, I think Roman Reigns is going to retain the title. I don't see him losing it, so I think he'll remain champion.
And then you've got Bayley versus Dana Brooke. Basically, these ladies are fighting each other because they're not in the title hunt right now. So, basically, this could go either way, but I think Bayley.
I'm going with Bayley. Bayley's so cute. Like she's so cute, like a little doll. I love her. I'm going with Bayley.
Yeah, she's a fan favorite, for sure. Hugging people.
Mm-hmm. I want to hug her.
She's like she's the girl next door, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Finally, everybody. And I think she'll get the victory over Dana Brooke.
I think so,
and
too.
And then there's the Cruiserweight title, Cruiser Championship. TJ Perkins, the champion, versus Brian Kendrick. You know, the former WWE superstar who returned quest to try to regain the Cruiserweight Championship. He was a former champ. He was a tag team champ with Paul London, you know, like a decade ago. I think TJ Perkins will. I'm kind of confused. Maybe Brian Kendrick will win. You know, I think Brian Kendrick will win since he, you know, this is probably his last shot of winning the title.
I could see that happen. I could see it going either way. I could see TJ retaining the title. I could see Brian winning it. I mean, it could go either way, so I'm not sure about this match.
Yeah, this one's 50-50 back. I think Brian Kendrick will win. And lastly, you got this Hell in the Cell, what possibly, generally speaking, would be the main event match if Sasha and Charlotte doesn't make history and become the main event. And that's, of course, Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. This could go either way, but I think Kevin Owens will retain it.
I think he'll retain it as well. I don't see him losing it. So maybe
yeah.
at Royal Rumble, but I don't see him losing it anytime soon for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, most likely Y2J, Kevin Owens' best buddy, Triple H, are going to get involved somehow in
mm-hmm.
this match. And maybe even something unforeseen. Maybe some ally that they don't foresee will turn this match.
Yeah.
In favor of Kevin Owens.
Where is Triple H, by the way?
Triple H made his little cameo to basically hand over the title to Kevin Owens and screw Seth Rollins. And after that, he took his break again. So I assume maybe to now he's gonna return again, or at least Survivor Series, you know.
I see.
And he's gonna have another former WWE super veteran, Mickey James, a fan favorite and a favorite of yours as well. She's gonna return to NXT next month. At the NXT event before Survivor Series.
I can't wait to see those movies of hers again.
With that one, thanks for checking out this show. From here. So thank you for all the support.